An Indiana man that police say has confessed to killing 7 women appeared for the first time in court today but refused to speak. Darren Vann is being charged with the murder of one woman at this point, 19-year-old Africa Hardy, who he allegedly met on Backpage.com and then strangled in a Motel 6 in Hammond, Indiana on Friday. But when Vann was arrested over the weekend, he reportedly told police that he'd also killed 6 other women. And in the last few days, police have found 6 bodies in abandoned houses in Gary, Indiana. Speaking at a press conference, Gary Mayor Karen Freeman Wilson called the case a horrible thing.
It's a source of great concern. This is extraordinary. You don't get people who kill multiple folks every day.
So what is going on inside the mind of someone who does? Dr. Park Dietz is a forensic psychiatrist who's consulted or testified in many high-profile cases involving serial killers. He's with us now. And a note to listeners, we're going to be talking about some disturbing information about serial killers that may not be appropriate for young listeners. Dr. Dietz, welcome.
Thank you.
We're obviously just beginning to learn about Darren Vann, and at this point he's only being charged with one murder, but police say he's also confessed to at least 6 other murders. Does he fit the profile of a serial killer?
Well, you know, there is no one single profile of a serial killer. Anyone who kills 3 or more victims in separate incidents, or in some instances 2 or more, because the definition keeps changing, could be considered a serial killer. The kind that's of greatest interest to the public for a long time has been the sexual serial killers, and what he's accused of doing sounds pretty typical of that. What most people don't realize is that it doesn't take much by way of unusual features of humanity to become a sexual serial killer. It's not as if they're another species. They're drawn from a group of repetitive criminals who happen to have some peculiar sexual interests and needs.
Well, and he was a registered sex offender. So how common is that for a serial killer to also be a sex offender?
Well, some of them are. Some of them aren't convicted in the past. The difference between the average serial killer and the average sex offender is having gotten away with it long enough to rack up the body count needed to meet the definition.
Well, and I think that's the other thing that's a bit puzzling here is why does it take authorities so long to track these serial killers down? How can they get through so many murders before they're found? And then all of a sudden, when they are found, they're willing to admit to these murders.
Well, there are a couple different things they do to avoid being caught. The first thing, and it appears it may have been true in this case, is to select victims who are not going to attract a lot of attention. Somebody who abducts and kills a young, blonde, white girl who's pretty is going to attract a lot of attention. But someone who selects for victimization people who are very marginal in society because they're homeless or drug addicts or prostitutes is going to attract attention more slowly.
So they are specifically going after people that they think will not attract a lot of attention.
Well, it's hard to know if that's so, but there's such a high correlation between ease of access to victims and not attracting much attention that it works out that way. Maybe they're just going for the easiest targets, people they can recruit to a secluded location for 10 minutes is all it takes.
Now, you're a forensic psychiatrist. What do we know about what's going on inside the mind of a serial killer and whether they are insane or whether they are sane and know exactly what they're doing?
Well, it's very rare for them to have a psychotic illness that could qualify them for an insanity defense. There have been a few, but that's quite unusual. More typically, we're looking at people who are mad at the world, who have had a lousy life. These are not happy, well-adjusted people with some work-life balance. These tend to be quite marginal people who, if they work, hate their jobs, who, if they're married, hate their wives, who, if they're in touch with their family, hate their families, who grew up with pain and poverty and misery and neglect and abuse in many instances, and who simply don't give a damn about anyone or anything. Now, there are little exceptions to that rule. You know, once in a while, there's one who loves his dog. There are some who love the collection of trophies that they take from their victims. But basically, these are miserable people who have an unusual sexual interest, because, you know, not all miserable people do this. The unusual sexual interests that get people in this situation are finding strangulation to be the most arousing thing they can imagine, finding torture the most arousing thing they can imagine, finding a non-moving, non-resisting, non-complaining partner the most arousing thing they can imagine. Some of them are seeking a dead body for that purpose. And often this is linked with some hatred of women that's generalized from one or two women in their lives who've been so miserable to them that they deflect that anger onto other women.
And are there warning signs? Are there things that, people like you could look for in patients who may end up doing something like this, and you would know from the way that they behave that they are a potential serial killer?
Well, first of all, most of these people don't end up in therapy. If they do, it's because a court made them do it, or they are seeing a mental health professional in a jail or prison setting. It's not as if they go seek relief from their problems. But the warnings that do exist are not specific to being a serial killer. What they would share with anyone they trusted enough, who would tend to be peers rather than therapists or parents, is signs of being a psychopath who does not care about anyone else's feelings. In other words, we can see in advance the lack of conscience, the lack of morality, the aggressiveness, the irresponsibility, the recklessness. But these are traits that are very widely distributed, and hardly any of the people with those traits become serial killers. So it takes a combination of those sorts of traits most of the time, and also some unusual sexual kink to even have the motivation to do a series of sexually motivated homicides. And thankfully, that's not too common. The public fear of it is much more common than the prevalence of the behavior itself.
That's Dr. Park Dietz, a forensic psychiatrist and the founder and head of the forensic consulting firm Park Dietz & Associates. Thank you so much, Dr. Dietz.
Thanks for inviting me.